Welcome to Make Audio. I'm Phil Tyrone, associate editor of Make Magazine. And for the next half an hour or so, we're going to be talking about robots. You like to build robots? I like to build robots. And the thing I'm most excited about this year are some new PC robot kits from a company called White Box Robotics. We talked to Thomas Burek, founder and president of White Box Robotics. And man, there is just a ton of great information about robots here. So let's just get this started. All right, I'm here with Thomas Burek, founder and president of White Box Robotics. Are you there, Thomas?
Yes, I am.
Great. So can you tell me a little bit about you and a little bit about White Box Robotics?
Sure. As for myself, I've been involved in robotics my entire life, really for as far back as I can remember. I always tell the story that the other kids in kindergarten were making clay ashtrays. I was making clay robots. And it's literally been a lifelong obsession. And in junior high is when I really started getting into microprocessor-controlled robots. Built a bunch of robots through junior high school, high school, and went to a technical school. I worked on robots the whole time through technical school. I've just been building them my entire life. And White Box Robotics actually was born out of frustration, I think, more than anything else, because I've been involved in enthusiast robotics again most of my life, and just kept on waiting and waiting and waiting for a Dell or a Motorola or a Tandy or some big company to step up to the plate and really start to manufacture personal robots. And Heath Zenith had a fantastic effort back in the mid-1980s, but there were several reasons why the robots didn't quite make it, but it was a valiant first effort. But since then, we haven't really seen anything on the scene that was substantial or significant. And I got tired of waiting and decided to take things into my own hands. And that's kind of how White Box was originally formed. And then I really put a lot of thought into how this platform was going to be designed, the things that it could do, and one of the goals was really to try to create a standard for the world in mobile robotic platforms, and that's just a very tall order. That goal was so important to me to be able to try to create some kind of standard that we could all work within and sort of focus our energies on. With that, long story short, the PC-based approach seemed to fit the bill. We've taken most of the PC architecture that's out there and we've applied it to mobile platforms. And then that was the actual beginnings of the 9 series platform from White Box.
Okay. Well, before you tell me about the 9 series, I want to get a little bit of background and maybe a kind of a current state of affairs with the robot industry. So you just got back from Robo Business, I think it was called, in Cambridge. Is that right?
Yes, it's Robo Business 2005. It was May 10th and 11th in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Gotcha. And what would you say is the current state of robotics right now, home and military and all those things that are going on?
I think that this is the most exciting it's clearly the most exciting time ever. I mean, in the history of mobile robotics. I mean, we're on the brink of just an explosive period of growth as an industry. I always liken it back to the early days of the PC industry. We're right at about that 1981 IBM release. I think that's really where we are as an industry. It's terribly exciting, and when you go to the robotics events, there's just this this energy that I've not seen in a long time in other industries that I've been involved in. I mean, there's this kind of this fierce underlying buzz all around these conferences, because everybody understands that this is a, you know, this is about to just explode, just start ripping at the seams.
So, and
that's actually been, I was going to say, that's actually been qualified. Robotics Trends, they've worked with some other groups, and they've collected studies from the United Nations and the Japan Robotics Association and all of many, many robotics professionals all over the world, and they've kind of collected and compiled that data. And in the next few years, you're going to see the mobile robotics industry explode into a multi-billion dollar industry. The writing's on the wall.
So this is a good time to be a robot manufacturer, isn't it? At least that seems.
Absolutely.
All right.
It absolutely is.
Well, so that leads us into the 914. You changed the website, got updated. I've been watching White Box Robotics for a while. The 914 looks like the, I think I saw a quote somewhere, or maybe you had told me, it's like the Commodore 64 almost of robotics. It might be the platform. Can you tell me about the 914 and why it's so special, and what are some of the things it can do?
Sure. First of all, to give you just a little bit of history, the 9 series platform in prototype form started out as the 912, and that was our development platform. And whenever the robot was ready for manufacturing and release, we were going to actually release it as the 912. But over the course of development, especially the last year, we made so many significant improvements to the platform that we realized that what we really had was an entirely new model. I mean, there were so many improvements that the moving it up the next model number just seemed appropriate. So the robot's actually going to be released as the 914. The 9 series focuses on a PC-based approach. But there are other means of building the robot, and I'll get into that shortly. But what I would like to see as far as what goes down in the history books for White Box is that I think we tried very, very hard to try to eliminate that sometimes brutal learning curve that's associated with building mobile robots, because as we all know, you know, you have to know how to solder, and you have to know how to design circuits, and you have to know what capacitors are and resistors and how to use them, and then you have to have mechanical engineering skills, electrical engineering, software engineering. You have to learn complex programming languages, on and on and on. So that the barrier to entry for building mobile robots is a pretty high barrier, and I would like to think that our contribution was that we created this new species of plug and play robot, and that we significantly reduced the barrier of entry into this field, because there's really a lot of people out there that are intrigued by robots, and they would really like to be involved, to get involved, to build them, to use them. And I think that with the 9 series platform, there's going to be entirely new audiences that get involved in building mobile robots. But so we take a lot of the PC architecture that people are already familiar with today, and we take those, we've moved them over to mobile robotic platforms. The robot uses a conventional PC motherboard. We have it designed specifically for the VIA Mini ITX motherboard, mm-hmm. The EPIATC, but with very, very little modification, the robot can use Mini ATX, Flex ATX, you know, a whole host of other footprints. in motherboards, but the VIA Mini ITX board really lends itself to building mobile robots because it's very, very small. I think it's around maybe 6 inches by 6 inches or something like that. It's pretty tiny, and it has a very, very low draw, and it has an integrated 1 gigahertz processor. And it's just perfect for mobile robotic applications. And then the robot uses a laptop hard drive. We use that for obvious power saving reasons, and a laptop CD-ROM drive that slides into one of the robot's 5 1/4 bays. Uh-huh. The robot actually has 8 5 1/4 bays for off-the-shelf components, and we use 2 12-volt sealed lead acid batteries in the bottom of the robot to power the electronics and the drive system. But like I said, we've taken a lot of that PC architecture, we moved it over, and now anybody that can tinker together a computer or upgrade a computer has the ability to build this robot. And with that, on the software side, the robot actually runs Windows, believe it or not, as an operating system, and then we have a really wonderful GUI-based point-and-click application for programming the robot. It allows you to do vision-based navigation, object recognition, facial recognition, autonomous navigation. I don't know if I mentioned speech synthesis and speech recognition, but. Uh-huh. A whole host of features, and it's all point and click. So we've worked with a simple yet powerful software application, combined that with standard PC architecture, and it, as a package, when you compare it to how people have historically been building mobile robots, I think we can really qualify it, say that we've virtually eliminated that learning curve.
Wow, so out of the box, basically you build your PC into it with whatever hardware that you want to put in there, and then you've got the software that does vision, object, speech, navigation, and that's all ready to go. So, like, out of the box, tell me about some of the applications or some of the things that the robot can do after someone builds it. What are some of the potential things they can do with this?
Sure. I'll back up just a second and kind of clarify a point that you had just mentioned, is that the robot does assemble like a conventional white box PC, you know, hence the name of our company. Mm-hmm. But it assembles in exactly the same fashion. So you don't have to have a encyclopedia thick book on how to put this machine together. So you're going to assemble it just like you would any other conventional PC. And then once you install the components and you load Windows and you load the robot application program, it has several out-of-the-box functions. One of the big ones is telepresence over the Internet. If you have elderly parents or you have young children at home that are under the care of a babysitter or what have you, and you're at work, you do have the ability to jump on an Internet terminal, and you can access the robot remotely, and you can check on your elderly parents, you can converse with them through the robot, you can kind of keep an eye on your children who are under the care of a babysitter, or maybe if you're just away on vacation and you want to check the house just to make sure everything's okay. Mm-hmm. So the robot has some great telepresence functionality. That's one of its major functions. The robot out of the box can also do some simple home security. If the robot sees any motion in the house, or if it hears sounds above a certain decibel level or other criteria that you program into the robot, the robot can contact you on your cell phone. It could send you an email at work or do mass emails out to friends and relatives, or whatever the case may be. So it's simple but effective home security out of the box. And then beyond that, we give you a lot of basic tools to come up with your own applications. And we're really interested in seeing how people will use the object recognition and the vision-based navigation and the speech synthesis and the speech recognition and how they will utilize those tools to create their own applications for the robot. So, you know, this is very much a do-it-yourself platform, and we really encourage people to find their own applications. And I'll give you a perfect example. We're going to post a story on the White Box site sometime soon. I'm just trying to get it wrapped up. But essentially what I did, I have one of the 914s, and I grabbed an off-the-shelf GPS unit. It just plugs into a USB port on the robot, and I throw the robot on the front seat, buckle him in, and he verbally gave me directions from Pittsburgh up to Ottawa, Canada. So that was just an off-the-shelf component that we were able to use and create entirely new functionality for the robot. And that's just one of countless thousands of off-the-shelf computer parts that are out there that lend themselves perfectly to building mobile robots.
I wonder if we'll be able to build these so we can put them in our seats and use the carpool lane. I think that'd be a great use. A great use. So
there you go.
You almost built an R2-D2. Like, you know, this is Star Wars week, of course, and so the R2-D2 that sits in the back of the X-Wing that would help Luke fly around and all that. One of the other things I saw were some photos from some of your past applications. There's some military versions of these as well that people are making?
Yes. Yeah, and that actually kind of ties into the whole R2-D2 Star Wars X-Wing thing as well, because I did a military concept robot, and again, we're talking about the original 912 prototypes, but I did a concept called the 912 Apache, and I studied the Apache helicopter for inspiration, and we have some pictures posted on the White Box website, but we have simulated weaponry on the robot, and it has tank treads, and you know, it's all Army green, and it's very, very ruggedized, and what I displayed that at Robo Nexus 2005 out in Santa Clara, California, October of last year, and to give the robot a little bit of extra punch, I was actually thinking about the whole Star Wars X-Wing fighter thing, and so what we did is we got a great big military ATV. I actually rented a big military ATV, and we had it sitting right in the center of our display, and we had the Apache riding on the very, very back, like R2-D2 did in the X-Wing, and it just had so much visual punch to it. It was great fun, but again, there's so many things people can do with the basic platform. We've really designed the robot to be cut and drilled and painted and modified in you know, countless thousands of different ways, and we really, really encourage that.
Oh, great. All right. Well, I have some questions from some people that read our magazine, and then I'm going to ask you about, of course, how much these cost and when it's going to be released and where they can get more info. But one of the first questions is, so what is the API like if you want to do additional pieces of software? Is it .NET? Is it straight DLLs? How do you build on top of the software or interact with the software that comes with it?
Well, frankly, that's really a work in process. We've got the point and click GUI based part of it nailed down, but as far as the APIs, the engineers are still in progress with that. There are APIs available, but I we're just not quite far enough along for me to speak intelligently about that. But what I can tell you is that will be an offering.
Right. And as far as like optional components that people can, hardware components, what are the types of optional things can they either purchase or use? I suspect anything that works with the PC is part of that, right?
That's correct. Now there's sort of two sides to that. We'll offer accessories in-house, very specific accessories that are designed for the 9 Series platform. We'll have we're in the early stages with a tread drive system with an auto dock charger, so the robot can recharge itself. A manipulator is on the board. We've had the robot out in the public eye since November of 2003, so it's given us some great opportunities for feedback, and we really want to listen to what people are asking for. So some of the accessories that we're working on or that we will be working on shortly, like I said, is the auto dock charger, the tread drive, and manipulators. And then we'll also have other accessories. Like, again, the robot is very, very modular. And sometimes we jokingly refer to it as the Mr. Potato Head of mobile platforms. It really speaks to the modularity of it. But we have chrome-plated eye assemblies and chrome-plated lighting accessories and all kind of in-house mod parts for the robot. And so that's the one side of White Box. But I think as important, or maybe more importantly, are the countless thousands of off-the-shelf computer parts that are out there. Almost anything that will work in a standard issue White Box PC will work with the robot. And maybe to give you a couple quick examples of some of the things that I've used on our prototypes, Gyration makes a great wireless keyboard and a gyro mouse. You just wave the mouse in the air in the direction of where you want the arrow, you know, the mouse arrow to go. And we've used a lot of the Gyration products on the robot. And to give you maybe some specific configurations, one of the robots used the Gyration keyboard and mouse, and then we have a little wireless VGA to TV converter plugged into the robot's VGA port on its motherboard, and then it broadcasts the Windows desktop and the robot programming application to your big screen TV, and you can sit, you know, you can sit on the couch and you can program the robot to wake you up in the morning and set specific reminders or you know, those specific robotic functions. And then you can also, a byproduct of the robot, because it's PC-based and it runs Windows, you can use the robot like a regular PC as well. So you can check your email or do some word processing and then program the robot to wake you up in the morning, you know, all from your TV. We have another concept robot that we did, the 912 MP3. It was a multimedia robot, and we tried to see how much PC multimedia componentry that we could jam into one platform. And the robot actually has a DVD. It has an LCD screen on the back, so you can watch DVD movies. It's on the back of the robot. It's got a CD burner DVD drive on the front. It's got a PC graphic equalizer, a 5 1/4 bay PC graphic equalizer. It's got an onboard satellite subwoofer speaker system internally. And then we use the Gyration keyboard and mouse. But if you don't want to view the Windows desktop from that small screen, because it is a little hard to read, we have these fighter jet style glasses that are stored in the robot's head. And you just pop them out of the head, and you put them on your face, and it projects the Windows desktop right down into your eye.
Oh, neat.
And again, all of that whole multimedia concept robot was done exclusively with off-the-shelf computer parts. So there are so many different kinds of robots that people can build. You're not limited to just putting a motherboard in the robot and then connecting up a hard drive and having the robot, you know, run around your house. I mean, that's just the earliest beginning. We've done so many different types of robots, and we've given them so many distinct themes just by varying the content of the off-the-shelf parts.
Gotcha. Okay, well, before I ask the rest of the questions, which have a little bit to do with the future of robots and all that, how much does these cost, and when can folks get them, and where can they find out more information about them?
Sure. The base 914 retails for $11.99. and we have a 914 HMV Founders Edition as well. It has a customized paint scheme, and it has some higher end hardware in it, and a lot of cool fancy extras. And the Founders Edition retails, I believe, for $15.99. And both robots can be ordered directly from the White Box Robotics website. It's www.whiteboxrobotics.com. And we have the full production schedule for the robots listed on the website. We've committed to a firm manufacturing schedule, and the tooling of the factory is about to get underway. A little closer to the end of the month, they start tooling the factory. Mm-hmm. We'll have robots produced over the summer, and then they'll actually be shipping in November.
Oh, great.
So the production process is well underway. And actually, a surprising side note here, the 914 HMV Founders Edition, at least in preliminarily, has been outselling the standard 914 by almost 2-to-1. Again, kind of caught me off guard there, but especially the Founders Edition, the pre-sales have been quite strong on it.
Interesting. Why do you think that is?
I think that the people that are ordering the Founders Edition, I think in some ways, again, to what I was speaking about earlier, is that we're at the very, very beginnings of a major revolution, like the early revolution in the PC industry. And there's only 3,000 pieces between both robots that are being manufactured for this very first production run. So in that way, it's kind of historic, especially if we're able to accomplish what we set out to do. You know, this robot really has the potential to have a significant impact in the market. So people are trying to get their hands on this, you know, this first production run. And the Founders Edition, we have a beautiful certificate that's hand-signed by myself. And the robot's got a beautiful custom paint scheme, and it's got a real high-end webcam in it, and a built-in satellite subsystem, and a lot of really nice extras, some really rich content. And I think when you look at it like that, it's a rather appealing package. But I am a little surprised that the Founders Edition has been, you know, outpacing the standard 914. But we're very glad for it.
Huh? Yeah, sounds like a bit of history that people can purchase. So on a completely opposite side of time. So you know, you're in the industry, and a lot of people always try to imagine what the future is going to be. You know, 5, 10, 15, even 50 years out with robots. What are your thoughts on that? What's the future of robots? And also, what do you think about the current robots that get a lot of attention, like the Curio and the other kind of walking robots? What do you think about the current trends and where things are going?
I think that what you're going to see happen within the next 2 to 4 years, you're going to see an explosion of mobile robotic products that are entering the marketplace. I mean, we're already seeing it now with just some really wonderful products like Roomba. And, you know, iRobot has really paved the way robotics in the mainstream. You know, I think they really had the first big hit as far as a consumer robotic product. But, you know, early on, iRobot has led that charge. And I think you're going to see a plethora of products that are going to be entering the market. We're already starting to see, of course, the robot vacuum cleaners and the robot lawn mowers and some of the robotic appliances. And then you have White Box that offers sort of an open platform for people, enthusiasts or robotic OEMs to create their own specific applications. But there's going to be so many great robotic products in this 2 to 4 year time span. And I think as robots get more and more intelligent, we're going to be able to come up with more legitimately useful functionality for them. Right now, we still have a little ways to go. We're clearly on the right track, but we do have to make some strides in artificial intelligence and sensing. And, you know, this is an emerging market, so there's still a lot of work to do. But we're just starting to see the fruits of all those labors of the, you know, 25 years or more that robotic technology spent in the labs. You know, that all the technology is now finally starting to come out of the labs and find its way into real products. So we're starting to see the fruits of those labors. But as robots get more intelligent and they have better sensing capabilities, you know, it's my hope that we're going to be able to see something a little closer to, you know, Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons.
Gotcha.
You know, that would be my eventual hope, and I think that we're heading in those directions. But and again, I think some of the significant uses for robots, especially in the coming years, is going to be mobile security and also care and companionship for the elderly. You know, assisting the elderly. And it's my hope that we can use robotics to improve the quality of our lives. And that's a goal of White Box. And I've stated that many, many times, that we want to use robots and robotic technologies to improve the quality of our lives. So I think that the especially the near-term future is really bright for mobile robots. And to speak to the second part of your question, as far as the robots, the biped robots like Querio and Honda's Asimo and some of the other bipeds that are out there, I think from a mechanical engineering point of view, that those robots are absolute marvels. I think companies like Sony and Honda have really flexed their engineering muscle there, and those are that's quite an accomplishment. But I think that having those complex bipeds, I think there are a couple of issues. You know, one, I personally think that our time would be better spent working on robotic intelligence, because really, when you come right down to it, our robot, the 914, is no more or less intelligent than Honda's Asimo. I mean, we still have great strides that we need to make in intelligence. So I personally would have liked to see those companies really focus on robot intelligence more so than these mechanical features. And I think especially in an emerging market, the reason why we chose to go after or utilize wheeled platforms is the simplicity. I think that the wheeled robots are a more straightforward approach, especially you know, at this early stage. You know, so that's my take on the bipeds.
Yeah, it sounds like we've got some high performance tires, but we just don't have the car engine built yet. So, you know, there's some pieces that are way out ahead, and we still have got to solve a lot of these other pieces.
Sure, right. That's a very good analogy. I think it's almost the cart before the horse issue here. And like I said, I'm not, in no way am I knocking their accomplishment, because again, as a purely mechanical engineering standpoint, they're wonderful machines, but in some ways, at least, I think it's the cart before the horse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to, you know, 5 or 10 years of people making their own robots and all the innovations that come out from low-cost hardware, like what you're talking about. And then, you know, eventually one of the accessories that you could sell is, you know, a pair of robot legs, and you just pop it onto there, and you don't have to necessarily worry about all the engineering that would go into building that. You can just, you know, plug and play.
Sure. I mean, surprisingly, we thought that far ahead with the platform. We've constructed it in such a way where it's so modular that I've actually had some early renderings done of what a biped system would look like for the 9 series and how it would attach. Once we make those advancements in intelligence and in sensing, and you know, we will explore that further, you know, once we feel that the technology is really there to support it. But that is a good point. I mean, we have provisions in the platform to accept, you know, these biped drive systems.
Yeah, I've got a Segway here at home, so I think one of the first things I might do with the kid is do a little Segway locomotion with it. We'll see how that goes. And so I guess the last thing I wanted to ask, because I'm sitting here interviewing you right now, looking at my robot collection. I have iBose. I have the robot that I grew up with as a kid called 2XL. Not really a robot, but it's a robot-looking thing, and it taught kids.
I know it well.
Yeah, with 8-track tapes. And I also have an Evolution robot here, and I have like 5 or 6 robots. What, and some Roombas that run around here every day. What type of robots do you have at home? You make robots, so obviously you probably have a couple, right?
That's actually a great question. No one's really asked me that before, but I've been collecting robots again since I was a young child, and my personal favorite and what really got me involved in robots was robot B9 from Lost in Space. And I have about a dozen of those in clay that I've built in almost every grade the whole way through school. So I've got a ton of homemade Lost in Space robots, and I've got an original 1960s Remco Lost in Space robot. I found that on eBay a couple of years ago. I was thrilled to finally get my hands on one of those. And I've got Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet. I've got a couple different sizes and types of Robbie. I've got some battery-operated R2-D2s. I have several Hero robots, Heath Zenith Heroes. I could go on and on. I actually have so many that I've actually had to box many of them. I've just run out of room in the house. Hmm. I've got a pretty extensive collection.
Excellent. And do you use any for tasks around the house? I mean, do you have one that like watches your house, or do you use a vacuum one, or do you have anything that actually does stuff too?
Yes. I actually should add Roomba to the list. I own several Roombas. I've got a couple at my house. I've got a couple at the White Box Lab. So I use the Roombas literally almost every day. And I'll put a plug in for iRobot. I can verify that they actually do work, and it's a great product. But I do use my Roombas. I have one of the earlier 912 prototypes running around the house that I use for telepresence. I've got a couple pets that I check in on throughout the day, and when I'm away, I'll jump on my laptop, check the house. So I've got one of the earlier 912s running around as well.
Yeah, I found that my dog likes the Evolution robot that I have that runs around and takes pictures and sends them to me. Doesn't like the iBo as much, because the iBos just completely freak him out. He's gotten used to it, and like as a puppy though, he just was scared. But
I think maybe he's worried that it's his replacement. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he's not good, that robot will take over anytime. Well, hey, Thomas.
Sure.
Thank you so much. For more information, again, where can folks go?
Right to our website. It's whiteboxrobotics.com.
Okay, great. And for everyone who's listening and wants to know more about these, make sure you visit the website. And also, we're going to try to do some articles and have some stuff online on Make, at the end of the year. And when we get our hands on these, this is something that we're obviously excited about. So, of course, you know, check out makezine.com for that. All right, Thomas. Well, hey, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Philip. I appreciate the time.
for more information about this show and the show notes, and to subscribe to Make Magazine, visit makezine.com.